4. Gwen was busy at her sewing machine. Whenever she and Martin were fighting, she would try to distract herself with her work. Lately, she'd been getting a lot of work done. She thought of designing and making clothes as her work, even though nobody paid her to do it. She didn't need them to. She was a wizard, or, as they were called in her home in Atlantis, a sorceress. She had access to unlimited funds, so she didn't need to earn money. She measured the success of her efforts and how many of her fellow sorceresses wanted her to make clothes for them, and by that measure, she was quite successful indeed. She finished a seam, then held the fabric up to the light to examine her work. It was nice and straight, not that it mattered. The fabric she was sewing had such a busy pattern that any minor mistake she made would have been hidden. She looked at the pattern and frowned. She always made bold, exuberant garments when she and Martin were fighting. It was a sign of depression. When she was in a good mood, her tastes ran a little more goth. She reached for the next piece of fabric and was about to start on the next seam when the doorbell rang. Her frown deepened. It was nearly 10 at night, and the only person who would show up at her door at this time of night would be Martin. That meant he probably wanted to make up, which was good, but they had only had their argument 3 hours ago. She wasn't quite ready to make nice yet. She put down her sewing and walked to the door. When she opened it, she was not surprised to see Martin standing outside. Martin said,
"Gwen, we gotta talk."
Gwen replied,
"I don't want to talk right now."
Gwen looked puzzled when she noticed that Martin was not alone.
"You've got Roy with you."
Roy stood in the darkness several feet behind Martin, wearing the tan trench coat that he used as a wizard robe and the long pointed wizard hat that he'd modified with the brim of a gray fedora, holding his billiards bridge. He looked like a grim film noir version of Wee Willy Winkie. He'd look out of place anywhere, but standing next to Martin in his shiny silver wizard hat and robe on a balmy tropical evening in the glowing, mythical city of Atlantis, he seemed even more incongruous. Martin said,
"Yes, Roy is with me."
Gwen asked,
"Why?"
Roy said,
"In order to explain that, the boy would have to talk."
Martin asked,
"Can we come in?"
She stood aside to let them enter. She knew Roy. He and Jeff seemed close to inseparable. Gwen's relationship with Roy was awkward, which was an improvement. At first, it had been downright uncomfortable. Part of it was probably generational. Sure, he looked much older than she did, but with time travelers, that meant nothing. Mentally, she was much older than she looked, but they had been raised in very different times. Part of it was that he was military, and she very much was not. Mostly, it was just that Roy always seemed to be on edge whenever Gwen was around. She couldn't relax in the company of someone who couldn't relax. The fact he often called her either Miss or Young Lady hadn't helped much either, but since she appeared to be in her early 20s and had a petite build and a cute brown pixie haircut, he had difficulty getting it into his head that mentally she was close to his age. Martin stalked in silently. Roy removed his hat as he entered, exposing his thinning gray crew cut. He looked around the room, which looked more like the remnants section of a fabric store than it did a person's home. He said,
"Hello, miss. It's good to see you again."
Gwen said,
"Good to see you, Roy. Make yourself comfortable."
Roy thanked her and continued to stand by the door, holding his hat. She turned her attention to Martin.
"So?" she asked. "How was bad movie night?"
"The first movie was slow and plodding and ended with a tremendous bummer."
Gwen said,
"Par for the course, then."
"Better than usual, actually," Martin said. "Then everyone vanished."
"Everyone in the movie disappeared?"
Gwen asked.
Martin said, "No, the movie was over. We were about to start the second one, and everyone but Roy and me just disappeared."
"I see,"
Gwen said.
"Don't you think they're just messing with you?"
Martin rolled his eyes.
"Gwen, Gary's involved. Of course we thought they were messing with us. But after a half an hour of waiting around for the live skunk or whatever to materialize, we began to think something was up. Finally, we went to my place and checked the file, and their coordinates make no sense. The longitude and latitude have been replaced with a line of code that calls out to some sort of secondary program.
Did you try to pull them back? Gwen asked.
Yeah, the file wouldn't let us. We couldn't change anything, and while we were trying, we noticed something else. Their settings have been reset. Wherever they are, they don't have their powers, and they can get hurt.
Martin could have predicted Gwen's thought. It had been the first thing to cross his mind when he'd found all of this out. Gwen said,
Jimmy's finally made his move.
Roy said,
Maybe.
Martin said,
I think so.
Jimmy, as well as Philip and Gwen, was one of the first wizards to show up in this time period, and he had been a problem from day one. Like all the worst problems, he didn't seem so bad at first. He was personable and always happy to help with whatever you were doing. Over time, it became clear that he was also willing to take control of and credit for whatever you were doing, and that he was personable enough to make it stick. Eventually, he wormed his way into a position of some power, both over the wizards and the normal citizens of medieval England. He went mad with power and ended up accidentally killing a great many people and deliberately harming plenty of others. As a punishment, the wizards cut off his access to the file that was the source of all their powers and exiled him to his own time, where he spent 30 years alone and destitute, struggling to make his way back. When he finally returned, he claimed to be remorseful and threw himself on the mercy of the other wizards, who let him stay, but on the condition that he submit to constant supervision. They did this partly because they wanted to believe that a person could redeem himself, but mostly because none of them trusted Jimmy, and they wanted to keep an eye on him. They hoped that if they kept him under surveillance and controlled what powers he was allowed to use, they could prevent him from doing any real damage. Martin and Philip, in particular, thought that eventually Jimmy would be a problem again. It seemed that eventually was today.
We pulled up Jimmy's entry in the file, Martin said. Wherever the guys are, Jimmy's there too.
Roy said,
And?
And it looks like his settings have been reset too, Martin said. But that doesn't mean anything.
It means he's just as vulnerable as the others,
Roy said.
Or so it seems, Martin said. But that might be what he wants us to think.
Roy frowned.
Kid, you're giving Jimmy an awful lot of credit.
Gwen said,
Roy, you weren't here when Jimmy tried to get rid of us. You don't know what he's capable of.
You're right that I wasn't here, Roy said. But I know full well what he's capable of. I know he didn't try to get rid of all of you. He tried to kill you. I know that if I had been here, he might not still be around to bother us today.
Martin started to object, but Roy stopped him with a raised finger and a change to a more conciliatory tone.
I'm not saying I'd have caught him any easier. Just that if I'd been around when you were trying to decide what to do with him afterward, I would have argued against leaving him alive to stew in his own juices for 30 years.
So you'd have wanted to kill him,
Gwen said.
Yes, I wouldn't have been happy about it, and I wouldn't have been in a hurry to do it myself, but yes, sometimes you have a terrible situation and you just have to deal with it. Right now, four of our friends, and maybe Jimmy, are in danger. We have to deal with that. Instead, we're just doing a lot of talking.
Gwen said,
We don't know for sure that they're in danger.
No, Gwen,
Martin said gently.
Roy and I have been over this.
At length,
Roy muttered.
Jimmy, or whoever did this, deliberately made it possible to hurt them. They didn't do that for no reason.
Gwen thought a moment, then said,
Yeah, you're right. We have to do something.
Martin said,
Agreed.
Roy said,
Finally.
Gwen said,
We should go talk to Britt.
Good idea,
Martin said, brightly, as Roy groaned.